Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Young Adults Vesper tonight. Just real quick, there are over 75 young adults registered here this week. If you guys would stand up. Stand up. That being said, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Kelsey with our chalice reading.
Is this okay? All right. If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer, if you're a pretender, come sit by my fire, for we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in, come in.
Please rise if you are willing and able. And we will sing, "We Are Gathered," or "Here We Have Gathered." Number 360.
We are gathered. In the African tradition, stories were meant to install values in children. Now, laments Theodora Ullery, a storyteller for over 15 years, the story has lost much of its integrity. Stories were a way of communicating with the gods, she said, but are only used for entertainment now. Artist and storyteller Makemba Kule explained that the storyteller is the descendant of the West African griot. Essentially a traveling historian, a griot traveled from village to village, telling of ancient peoples and kings, often covering thousands of years of history. Traditional African society is an oral one, said Kule. The griot would be trained from young to perform the task. He wasn't an entertainer, although he did entertain. It was a respected, revered position. Kule believes that the attraction of motion pictures, video games, and all these other computer stuff may account for the reduced interest in traditional folklore characters. But if we were to put some of the doings and characters from folklore into film and video games, mused Kule, they would become popular. The character Anansi is derived from Giza, the trickster Spider-Man of the Hausa of northern Nigeria. Like Anansi, Giza could be a hero or a villain. Ullery tells of a West African Anansi tale of how all stories in the world came to be. Now, notice the tendency to repeat the expressions. Back when the world was young, all the stories in the world belonged to Nyame, the sky god. They lived in a golden box beside his stool. Now, Anansi the Spider-Man wanted the golden box's stories, so he spun a web up to Nyame and his heavenly court. Sorry. Oh, Nyame, Nyame, said Anansi and bowed low. I have come to ask for your stories. What is your price? Ah, okay, laughed Nyame. My price, Anansi? You must bring me Osebo, the leopard of terrible teeth, Mbolo, the hornets who sting like fire, and Mwatia, the fairy who men never see. Very well, Nyame. I am ready to pay your price, said Anansi, bowing his head. How can you, Anansi, so small, pay my price? For every man who had tried to pay his price had been eaten by Osebo, stung to death by the hornets, and turned into a frog by Mwatia. Anansi did not reply, merely bowed low and returned to earth. He pulled down a thick creeper vine from a stout tree and went in search of Osebo, the leopard of terrible teeth. Aha, Anansi, said Osebo, baring his teeth. You are just in time to be my lunch. As for that, whatever happens will happen, said Anansi quickly. But first, Osebo, perhaps we can play the binding game. Osebo was very fond of games. The binding game, he said excitedly, quick, how do you play it? I will bind you up with this vine, said Anansi, and then I will untie you, and you can tie me up. Okay, said Osebo, planning to eat Anansi as soon as he ties him up. So Anansi took his vine and tied Osebo foot by foot by foot by foot and hoisted him into a tree. Now, Osebo, said Anansi, dancing around the tree, you are ready to meet the sky god. Then Anansi took a frond from a banana tree and filled an empty calabash with water. He crept up on the nest of Mbolo, the hornet that sting like fire. He poured some water on the banana leaf and emptied the rest over Mbolo's neck. It's raining, 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 called Anansi to Mbolo. Will you not fly into my calabash so the rain does not tatter your wings? Thank you, hummed Mbolo and flew into the calabash. When the last hornet entered, Anansi stuffed the opening fast, cough. Now, Mbolo, you are ready to meet the sky god. Next, Anansi took some of wood from the gum tree and carved a small gum baby. He tied one end of the long string round the gum baby's neck and then covered it with sticky latex glue. He placed the gum baby under the flamboyant tree where fairies loved to dance and put a bowl of pounded yams beside it. Then Anansi took the loose end of the string in his hands and hid among some bushes. At last, along came Mwatia, dancing. She stopped when she saw the gum baby and the bowl of pounded yams. She loved yams. Gum baby, may I have some of your yams? She asked. Anansi, from the bushes, pulled the string and made the gum baby nod. Mwatia took the bowl and ate up all the pounded yams. The gum baby said nothing. Monsieur became irritated, for she was an ill-tempered fairy. "Do not speak to me when I thank you," she demanded. The gum baby was still. "If you do not speak to me, gum baby, I will slap you in your crying place," she shouted. Still, the gum baby was silent. Pow! Monsieur slapped the gum baby hard in the face, then found her hand wouldn't come away. "Let me go, or I'll slap you again," she bellowed. Pow! She slapped the gum baby with her other hand, and it was also stuck fast. She pushed against it with her foot, then with her other foot, until she was also completely stuck to the gum baby. Then Anansi came out of the bushes and stood over the angry fairy. "Now, Moatia, you are ready for the sky god." Anansi spun a web around Osebo, Mbolo, and Moatia, and spun the web up to heaven, and then to the court of Nyame. "Oh, Nyame, Nyame," said Anansi, and bowed low. "See, I have bought your price." Osebo, the leopard of terrible teeth, Mbolo, the hornets who sting like fire, and Moatia, the fairy who men never see. "Anansi, the Spider-Man, has paid my price for the stories," Nyame announced to his assembly of elders, sing his praises. The assembly of elders obeyed. "Let the golden box of stories be given to him," he proclaimed. "And from now on, let these stories be called spider stories." Anansi bowed low and took the golden box from Nyame down to his village. There he opened the box, and every kind of story of every shape and size and color flew out of the box and to every part of the world. And that is how stories came to be.
Between the lines of every story, there are pauses and things left unsaid. The absence of wisdom has its own meaning. Without silence, there can be no noise. Let's pause and breathe in the silence together. Consider the stories left untold, unfinished, unwritten. Whose voice is not being heard? break the silence by speaking the names of those who have helped to write your story.
And now we have stories from SIs, past, present, and possibly future.
Hello. So I'm going to tell a story about SI past, and this story is about friends and how we make very special friends here in this community. So this story takes place back in the year 2000, and we have a set of 9-year-old triplets. Not five, 9. And the thing with these triplets is, you have 2 who are the typical 9-year-olds that are rowdy and hyper and, you know, eccentric. And then you have Ryan. And the thing with Ryan is, you know, he's shy, he's timid, he follows the rules, but he's very reserved. And so one day in the children's program, we were just playing, and then it was asked that Ryan has to put a toy away. So this toy is being played with by a girl. So Ryan kindly goes up to the girl and says, "I need to put this toy away." Unfortunately, the details of this story get a little fuzzy, but Ryan ends up on the ground. So, even though this seems like a very unfortunate and, you know, thing to happen at SI, he actually is about to meet his future best friend. Now the valiant Connor McChrystal comes in, picks Ryan up, and they become instant best friends. But the story doesn't end there. The best part is Ryan and Connor find out that they both have sisters, and Ryan has 2 sisters. And what's great about this story is that our friendship has lasted through the years because of SI. And even though now we're all even though now we're all grown up, we still find a way to revert to our childhood.
So I also have a story from the past, and it's from my first year at SI. My name's Eva, by the way. And my first year at SI was summer after 8th grade, so I was starting off in the youth program. And that year in the youth program, we were doing this thing where we had Well, I don't remember the programming exactly, but we had like stocks that we had to collect, and like all the adults in the community had these stocks, and it was like stocks for friendliness and kindness and excitement and all positive, fun things that we try and learn here at SI and live. And I was really excited to be here. My friends had been coming for years, and everywhere I went, I was just like smiling. And I remember I was walking down the path, and middle path, and this golf cart came by, and I like was smiling really big, and I waved, and I was like, hello, and just kept walking on to whatever I was doing. And later at dinner, this woman came up to me, and she like looked very sternly at me and was like, were you the one who said hello to me in the golf cart? And I was like, oh my God, what? Is that against the rules? Like, I'm really sorry. Like, I didn't know there were mean people here. Okay, I'm sorry. And then she got this huge smile on her face. It was like, that was great. Thank you so much. Here, you get a friendly token. And I was like, wow. Oh my God. And she introduced herself, and she's like, hi, my name's Linda. And I was like, oh my God, Linda. Inside, I just like had this huge thing of relief, because I'd been hearing about her for years from my friend Claire, and I was like, oh my God, she's not going to like me, and she's really good friends with my friend Claire. And it just made me so happy in that moment that she thought I was a friendly person. And I ended up winning the like most friendly badge, and it's and it's still hanging in my room on my door. And I'm really thankful that I learned like friendliness or like kindly friendness or friendly kindness is a good thing to live by. So thanks, Linda.
Hi. My name's Hallie, and hello. I have a story from SI of the present. Maybe some of you have heard it. There was a certain young adult someone, drove to SI, got here and realized they forgot everything. That story was about me. But it was just a story. It didn't really happen, but I mean, really, no, it didn't really happen. Me and my sisters just concocted this because we got here so late. We thought, oh, we gotta think of something. But what really amazed me was that everybody believed it. Like, they no questions asked. Like, really? You really thought I did that? Yeah, they did. Thanks, guys. And that was my SI of the present.
Good evening. This week, we've been talking a lot about stories. Tonight, I ask you to think about a story that's still being written, the story of Summer Institute. We've already heard a few tales of SI's past and a few from earlier this week, but the story's not over yet. Let's imagine the Summer Institute of the future. Now, I'm not talking about flying golf carts or holographic services or a machine that turns water vapor into soft serve ice cream. We might have to wait a couple more years for that to come out. I'm talking about the future of our community. Will we be bigger or smaller? Seems like we're still growing, but I don't know. Will we stay at Kenyon, or will we be somewhere else many years down the road? Other questions take a little less thought. Will the UUs of the future still heavily rely on caffeinated fuel? I think I'll know that answer by breakfast tomorrow. But seriously, bike helmets, sung announcements, and sleep deprivation aside, what makes SI SI? If faced with drastic changes, what would we choose to hold on to? Perhaps one of the best things about Summer Institute is that the characters in our story are also the authors. This community is envisioned, created, and recreated by its inhabitants. I love looking out into this cast of characters and knowing that each of you has written a part of our story by being here this week. Keep up the good work. I can't wait for the next chapter to be released in 2011.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. 'Cause the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing.
Please rise as willing and able to, I got peace like a river.
One day, this story will end, as all stories must. There are only so many pages in a book, after all. But this is not yet that moment, that day. So until then, love, laugh, listen, and above all, keep reading. Oh, and don't flip ahead to the end, because that's cheating.
And now, everyone's favorite, it's time for announcements. I have one, which is that after this service, as soon as we can have it set up, there will be senior high youth bridging into the young adult program in the green on the path between here and Pierce, okay?
We have a name tag up here for Ronnie Malincia from the first...
It's all right, but tall in stature. Good evening. Good evening. Woo! What a glorious day outside today. Man, that was awesome. It was as Summer Institute has envisioned, with the deep blue sky and the white puffy clouds, and you just sit in the big chairs and close your eyes and take a nap. Wow, it's wonderful. It's those visions that bring me back each year and take me through in between the years. There was a nice person who gave me an announcement who was going to thank the Hogwarts professors. Is that person here? Please come forth, because I lost your very nice written words. I apologize. And I could not begin to do justice to the words that you had written. So thank you very much. Sorry.
From the parent of a first-time SIer, and the only way I could possibly get my kid to come to SI was the thought of Hogwarts. My little 10-year-old has read every book and just loved the thought of being able to run around with a wand and a cape. So from all of us Muggle parents to all of the wonderful professors, especially since we've read today that you are moving on to higher callings, we thank you so much for all of your years of service. For your hard work and dedication, we give you a big round of applause. So thank you.
Now I know why I was meant to lose that announcement, because there's no way I could have gotten anywhere near that. And I had known, I had idea that you were a first-timer, so that makes it even more special. Thank you. The evaluation forms are available outside of the Info Center, and also in Pierce, where our Info Center is. We are also offering the ability to fill out the survey online at the OMD website, so please let your voices be heard. Because as we do planning throughout the year, it helps eliminate us guessing what you want and don't want. So please let us know. Very important. If this week you have lost your anniversary ring on Middle Path, please see Ken Keem, and because he has it, but he just didn't want to put it in the lost and found because it looked very valuable and, of course, be very special to someone. And I think, is Ken here? There we go. Ken is right there in the orange shirt, green shirt, raising his hand. If you went to tie-dye today, and after you left, your sandals felt too big, they're not yours. All right, well, Please bring them to Lost and Found. Put them in the Lost and Found box because your sandals are waiting for you in the box. Because this poor individual, as she's walking back, thinks her feet swelled in the heat. And of course is now quite relieved that that's not the fact. Tomorrow, after your room is spotless and you're ready to return your key, please go to the porch in town, and that's where we're returning the keys. Very nice. Ah, that's right. Very good. The youth need their rooms to be extra spotless, and so we have individuals that that are there, and you turn the key in after your room has been checked, and so the key collection for the youth in Caples is down on the first floor. Very good. Bye. You said it well. Another one. Jake Corporal lost a tooth on Wednesday. Not only did he lose his tooth at Summer Institute, which of course gets him double the money, which is fantastic, double money. He was riding his bike at the same time, which is also a phenomenal thing, Summer Institute. Yes, so that should be triple, I think. Which is easy for me to say, standing here. I'm not the one pulling that one off. And then, of course, last year, unfortunately, after tie-dye was done and everyone had left the campus, there was many articles of tie-dye still in bags. And that was unfortunate because people had put a lot of time into it, but they hadn't come by and collected them. So please make an effort to come and collect your tie-dye things so we don't have to donate them. Well, then we have to rinse them out. Then we get to donate them. But just please come pick up your tie-dye stuff, and that would be great. We appreciate that. And Diana has a message. Diana?
And I'm told this is two hands.
It is two hands.
All right. Well, as you know, my name is Diana. Did I get it?
You're good.
All right. And I feel really privileged to be part of this community and serve this community on the Summer Institute Planning Committee panel, whatever we're called. And I'm here to try to share part of our story and maybe clarify a little bit of some of this week's events. Today we've had questions and concerns about some of the stuff you've heard about the incident in the youth dorm. What I'm here to say is the policies and the systems of SI worked really well this week. As the circumstances happened in the youth dorm, the behavioral covenant was violated and the individuals were sent home. Throughout this process, the district staff, the youth panel, and the SI panel members worked together. And as we worked together, our goal was to ensure the health of the community and the support for those whose consequences were to leave. We as a community have a lot of reason to be proud of our youth. They worked really hard. They had a lot of integrity. And they attended to their task very seriously and with caring hearts and lots of compassion. And I know as a parent whose child will be going into the youth program soon, that's a huge jump for them and for us. And sometimes it's for us as a community. And I'm here to tell you I'm so impressed. They did such a good job to care. And if you do have concerns, keep finding any of us with the yellow hat so we can hear your concerns and we can talk about that. Because when we talk about, I think it was Amber who talked about the future of SI, I got to see it in action this week, and it's amazing. I don't know about the coffee part. I really wouldn't want to give that up. But the youth and the young adults are amazing, and they've been a gift to be able to work with and serve with. And we have an amazing group. So thank you, and I'll turn it over to Jay to do that raffle.
It ain't working. There we go. It's wonderful that we have to move it up and down because there's all different types of people. It'd be very boring if we were all 6'1". all right, fantastic. I didn't know I get to name off the raffle winners for the scholarship. That's fantastic. However, we have some old news. Deb C. still has not picked up her keychain, which should probably be in that box. So Deb C., hopefully there's not multiple of you, come get your keychain. All right, the raffle winners for the second round. Note cards was Cindy France. There was also more note cards and Sybil McNulty. More note cards, my. John McChrystal. The kindergarten note cards is Jean Furlan. A necklace goes to Anna Gongluff. Boy, I'm killing these. All right, number four is a book, and that's Chris Harlbut. There was a love print, and that goes to Catherine Hans Greco. We have a flower print, and that goes to Lois Ament. Wait, Lois won something last time. Oh, that's okay. That's good. That's all right. Thank you for going into both raffles. That's great. There was a painting, and from Heather, I'm assuming. Well, we have Heather Fern, Phyllis Smith, and Cal Fry. I guess y'all have to share the same painting. You guys can work that out. You know, like bring it to you, each gets a third of the year and move it around, and you'll figure it out. There is the an altar cloth, and that is going to Dixie Morrow. And there's a CD, and that goes to Ashley Parmalee. I know I read them very quickly. I apologize, but there's several here. But since the bookstore is closed, we will be distributing those raffle prizes over here in the box. Wonderful. And, yeah, pick up your winnings here immediately following Vespers. So we still have a lot to do this evening, and we have the bridging from the youth to the young adult. It's always a teary time, so please join us for that. It's wonderful to see youth go into young adulthood. It's great to see. And then we have the pub, and there's also a really fun thing that's done at 1 a.m., and I believe that's somewhere around here, and that is Mock Vespers. And that's very entertaining. That's put on by the young adults, extremely creative, and so they do get imaginative. The what? Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. I thought it was so late we hadn't even gone down that path. We have Friday Small Ensembles 2 in Brandy Recital Hall back here in store. That is definitely, you don't want to miss Small Ensembles. And I suggest that you get there as soon as possible because the room usually fills, and then it's standing room only, and then at some point we have capacity, and unfortunately you can't be in there. So please hurry over there if that's something you want to do. Do we have any shout-outs? Yes.
I had promised some folks that I would run a game of Werewolf. We didn't get a chance to do it between the talent show and Vespers, so after the young adult bridging thing. Meet me in the Center of the Angels, and I'll be conducting this workshop on how a village deals with like half-pit violence without union principles.
So in case you didn't get that, there's a workshop on werewolves, right? And that is after the bridging, and it's in amongst the angels. Wow, that's a lot. Werewolves and angels all in one shot. So, one more. Lauren turns 21 tomorrow. All right, so those of us who are greater than 21, do we have the heart to tell her that it's all downhill from here? No, 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 no. Very good. So if there's no more shout-outs, one more shout-out. Very good. I felt confident that. That's why I invited them. Okay. Very good. Yes? Very good. The Thomas Dining Hall, which I believe is the newer portion of where we eat, is being set up for a wedding. So they have opened up the room downstairs. So that's the overflow if we don't all fit in the Great Hall for tomorrow morning breakfast, for those of us that are going to eat breakfast. All right, let's go forth and enjoy our evening. Thank you.